Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mark Howard with me. Mark, you have been covering the Vols in Nashville for years and years and years. And so here's my question as we start the Josh Heupel era, which is, have all these years, the last 12 or however long it's been since the Vols have kind of fallen off the planet, have they lost their standing in Nashville? And if Heupel doesn't work out, will the popularity of Vol football forever be eroded to a certain point in the city of Nashville? We know Knoxville, Chattanooga, east of the state, the Vols will always have a place in people's hearts. We also know that probably in smaller areas of the state, the Vols still, you know, ring through as the team. But here in Nashville, we got a lot of other things to do, too. Do you think Vol football is in trouble in Nashville?
Absolutely not. Not even close. The city has evolved. There are more people here. There are more diverse interests. But Tennessee football is inbred in people. It's generational. And I think that even a run of 10 or 15 bad years will not deter people from their fandom. I mean, the world is a front runner. We know that. If the Vols are winning, you know, everybody's going to want to jump on board. But I know that Tennessee always views Nashville as a huge stronghold, you know, whether it's the caravan or whatever. You know, one of the biggest screw-ups over the last 10 or 15 years was when the caravan came here. I don't know if it was Dooley, or I can't remember if it was Dooley or Butch or somebody else, but the caravan came here pretty much unaccompanied. And it was a huge mistake. I know the powers that be in Knoxville and the alumni base here in Nashville was furious. So yeah, this will always remain a vital piece of the mosaic when you talk about Tennessee football interest, Tennessee athletic interest. But yeah, I mean, it ebbs and flows depending on the success of the program. And it does become sort of generational. If you have, you know, young fans, especially when they start to get into the age, you know, when they become consumers that haven't seen Tennessee's program very successful. So, yeah, of course. I mean, it's like anything else. If they don't see them win, they might be Vols fans, but they might not be rabid Vols fans. So, but I don't think this is ever going to change Nashville as a Tennessee stronghold.
When I was a kid and when I was in high school, I knew like one Alabama fan. One. Now I see Alabama fans all over this city. I read the text line. When we talk about the Vols, and we get texts from Alabama fans all the time, we talk Alabama and people want to call in. I wonder if Alabama continues their dominance and the Vols continue to slip, if perhaps not Alabama would surpass the Vols in popularity in Nashville, but that Alabama could certainly inch closer to the Vols. And it just doesn't feel to me the same in this town. Even 5 years ago, it doesn't feel the same as far as excitement for the Vols in Nashville. Now, maybe that's just because they've been lousy.
Jared, I grew up in Connecticut. I grew up in West Hartford, Connecticut. And growing up, you were either a Giants fan or a Jets fan. I've talked to Peter King about this. And going back there now, not having lived there for a long time, the dominant team now are the Patriots. And, you know, why do you think that's happened? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Alabama. They win every year. So if you're a casual fan, that's an easy team to latch on to. You know, try being a Vols fan. You know, that'll test your fortitude. That'll test your mental well-being as a fan. You know, easy every Saturday if you're only worried about if your team's going to cover the point spread. But if you're Tennessee, hell, you can lose to Georgia State. I mean, we've seen that happen. So, yeah, at this point, it's understandable that Alabama fans are going to be popping out of the woodwork.
how long until, let's say, the dad or the mom or the dad and the mom are Tennessee fans. The parents are Tennessee fans. And honestly, it could be whatever combination you want it to be. I'm not trying to pigeonhole anything here. But parents are Tennessee fans. How much losing until the kids are like, nah, I'm not doing that?
Well, I think that Danny White is concerned about that. And when the fans do come back and we get a truer read on what's going on at Neyland Stadium, we all know empty seats and apathy, equal let's change the football coach. So in a way, I think they should be happy, with, all the negative social media that they got today, because it means their fans still care. But you're right. I mean, you get to – I always say this, and this has happened at Vanderbilt, and it's obviously happened with Vanderbilt basketball, even though, this year with COVID-19, harder to tell. At a certain point, apathy becomes a lot worse than anger. And when that happens, you've lost your fans. And that's, that's something that's really hard to put back together.
It just feels different for me for Danny White. Like, it feels different because he's got to worry about Knoxville and those fans showing up to the stadium. But I'm just thinking about it as far as Nashville's concerned, because it's a much more transient town than it's ever been. And there's all these other things to do. There's all these other teams to root for. There's all these other games to watch. And I just don't feel like the Vols have ever been this not popular in Nashville in my lifetime.
I don't agree with that. I just don't. I still think Tennessee football gets, pretty good ratings in this market and always will. But yeah, if they're not having a good season, that's subject to change. And I think that there's a lot of frustration with the program, but it's not like it's been just scorched earth, since they beat Florida State for the national championship 22 years ago. I think you've got to be cognizant that they've had some good seasons. They had some good seasons under Butch. 2 years ago, everybody thought Pruitt was on the verge of turning it around. So it's not like, this program is totally flatlined. It's just that this program can't gain any momentum from one season to the next. This program can't gain any consistency. The one thing under Fulmer, you knew that they were going to win between 9 and 11 games there for a while. And that had their fans, feeling good. That, and that's the other problem, Jared, is, the fans are talking 70, but they're shooting 85 and 90. Are the fans realistic about, where this program should be? It happens in a lot of places. Vandy basketball, we just talked about that a few minutes ago.
Vandy
basketball fans thought they should be in the tournament every year. And then Bryce Drew comes along, takes them, to the tournament 1 year and then goes winless the next. How does that happen? So, when that happens, your fan base gets rocked pretty hard.
All right, we're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is with us, Stillman & Company's live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
I think one of the things that's extremely important to the lifeblood of any program, but to the lifeblood here at Tennessee, is recruiting. And that's one of the great things here, is that you have a national name, national logo that allows you to go coast to coast and go attract the biggest, the best, and the brightest. At the same time, the most important thing that we do is lock down our borders. We have to keep kids inside of this state here. And that's for multiple reasons. They're going to come play championship caliber football. They're going to be developed. They're going to have an opportunity to move on to the NFL. They're going to get a great degree. And they're going to be empowered to live inside of the state once they are done with that degree. But we have to do that inside of our own borders. And that's going to come for me, a focus on the recruiting in-state for me. It's got to transcend through our assistant coaching staff. but it's also got to reside in every Vol fan here inside the state of Tennessee. And I say that meaning that everybody's got to bring energy and passion, create and sustain a positive movement through everything that we're doing to create the sustainable change that we need to lock down the borders here with our recruits.
Lock down the borders, Mark Howard. That's Josh Heupel. Now, everybody can say whatever they want about Philip Fulmer, the athletic director. Philip Fulmer, the coach, and you remember this, Mark, but he would never let a great player in the state of Tennessee, he would almost never let that kid get away from UT. And I ultimately think that that was his downfall. His last year, Barrett Jones, Dante Hightower, and Randall Cobb all left the state of Tennessee to go somewhere else. And I think that had Fulmer gotten those three players, Fulmer probably would have stayed the coach at Tennessee. So we will see. Do you have a thought on that, or do you want to go to the phones, Mark?
Well, I think that it was just so much different when Fulmer was here. Next year for the 2022 class is one of the deepest in the history of this state. So it's vital that Heupel and the staff that he's putting together, you know, have a lot of success here. And I think that contributed to the speed in which Danny White went out to find a head coach. You've got a lot of kids out there that they need to target. They've been targeting and they need to have success with. But the pool of talent in this state has exploded, you know, because of the amount of people that have moved to the mid-state, you know, Wilson County, Rutherford County, you know, even in the metro area, and of course, other parts of the state. So this has attracted just about every school in the SEC. You've got Clemson coming in here, a lot of ACC schools. It's become, you know, a huge place. And next year is what a lot of people are aiming at. Also, too, the SEC schedule came out, and Heupel will debut at home against Pittsburgh. So that's going to be interesting.
Texture to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the SEC has grown more over the last 20 years than any 20-year span. Nashville has grown more over the last 20 years than any time in a 20-year span. And yet Tennessee has been awful during both, and I feel like it has affected both of them.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that.
I think there's a little something to that. I think just a little bit. Robert is up next on Vandy Hoops and has been waiting patiently, wants to get in on that. I did go on my little Jerry Stackhouse rant. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's been going on for a long time. With this new motion offense, it's all three-point centric, and Vanderbilt, going back 20 years at least, 20 years, has totally abandoned the inside offensive option. And if they committed to that, it would open up their three-point shooting. I think they get good athletes, they get good players, they're a good defensive team, but there's no inside offensive production whatsoever. They just can't compete athletically with Tennessee or Alabama or Kentucky. So they got to go back to basics.
I mean, they should have beat Kentucky. Thank you, Robert. First of all, Alabama, Alabama basketball is good. Like, they are legit. I watched them in Thompson Bowling spank the Vols. Excuse me. I watched last night. They stomped Kentucky. I know it was a close game, but then they ended up pulling away at the very, very end. I mean, Nate Oates, if you love Danny White, and Mark loves Danny White, Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama for their basketball team, is a reason to love Danny White because he gave him his first shot at Buffalo. Alabama's good. Tennessee, they are more athletic and better than Vandy, but I can't even analyze Vandy like that. They're a mess.
Yeah, right now they are a mess. I don't think there's any question about it. I don't agree with you know, the fact that they've lacked, you know, inside play. They've had some good big men through the years. You know, Eddie Fogler ran the motion offense and took him to the Sweet 16. So I don't necessarily buy that.
I don't think it's the motion offense that's holding him back. Isn't that the entire sport that is moving away from the inside to the outside? Like NBA, college, high school, it's all moving to the outside anyways.
It's become a guard game. Absolutely. So, you know, I would regard that as almost a good thing. Listen, the best way to put together a team, in my opinion, is like what they do at Florida State, where they've got 6'7", 6'7", you know, 6'5" to 6'7" guys who are all kind of interchangeable. You know, that's really the way to do it now.
Let's go to Russ.
Leonard Hamilton knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Let's go to Russ. Well, they killed Louisville last week. They killed Clemson. Russ is up next on SEC Fandom. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Russ.
I just think it's a very real thing what you're talking about with Alabama, and it kind of reminds me of when Barry Bonds got so good, Greg Maddux wouldn't pitch to him. He walked him. He just said, "You're just too good." And I think that, talking about the fan bases, I think it's a lot of fan bases. I'm an Auburn fan, and you're talking about Tennessee fans. You feel there's a difference around Nashville. It's all over. I've got friends who are fans at Ole Miss who this year, last year and this year, put on social media and had their pictures taken in their Alabama jerseys at the game saying Roll Tide, saying, well, if they're just good, I want to be a part of this. And it's the weirdest thing. I don't get that. I don't understand that. But people want to be part of winning programs in our fast food society. People want to win sometimes maybe more than they want to be committed.
So I appreciate your call, Russ. Mark, I don't have any friends like that who – you know, are Tennessee fans, but then have decided to be Alabama fans. Like, I don't have any friends like that. I'm sure there are people out there that are like that. I don't have any friends like that. But my thing with Nashville is this. Like, the city of Atlanta, now the Georgia Bulldogs are for sure the number one team in Atlanta. Just like I think right now, the Tennessee Volunteers are for sure the number one college team in Nashville. But because of proximity and success, Auburn is very popular in Atlanta. And at the same time, Alabama has become even more popular in Atlanta. The Atlanta radio guys tell me, oh yeah, we can talk about what's going on at Alabama any day of the week. People want to talk about Alabama. They want to talk about Auburn. They want to talk about just as much as they want to talk about Georgia. And I feel like in Nashville, Alabama and Kentucky are kind of like that to Tennessee, what Georgia is in Atlanta.
I just think that, you know, sometime, you know, and the population explosion has sort of contributed to this, but also it's generational. You know, I had my teams. There's no way that I would bail on any of my teams. You know, I grew up a New York Giants fan. You know, that team drove me crazy, made me cry. You know, I grew up a Yankee fan. And for 10 or 12 years, when they were terrible, I watched and listened to every game. It's different now. Kids are different. They're sort of, you know, bandwagon fans. That's just the way it is. God, remember when LeBron went to the Miami Heat? You'd get on a plane and everybody's got Miami Heat jerseys. And I'm where did this come from?
But that league is a player. Like, the people like the players in that league, and they don't like the teams.
Oh, I know.
Which is sad, but, like, I think football, we better watch out for the NFL. Because, you know, Brady is different because, in my opinion, he's the greatest of all time. And so you can root for the greatest of all time. But I have a friend who's got an 8-year-old, and she told me for Christmas that, oh yeah, he's got all these different jerseys. He's got an Odell Beckham jersey. He's got a Russell Wilson. He likes this one. He likes that one. When I was a kid, like, everybody that I knew either had a Steve McNair jersey or an Eddie George jersey, and that was it. None of my friends were getting Dallas Cowboy jerseys. None of my friends were out getting Peyton Manning jerseys. I mean, no. Everybody either had a Steve McNair jersey or they had an Eddie George jersey. And I wonder if that's kind of changing with the times, that maybe the young people will be into football and they'll be into the players and not the teams. But I'm a teams guy for sure. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. 615-737-1025. Mark brought this up earlier, and we will get back to your phones. Mark brought this up earlier, and I think it's a very good point. And it is, so what's Josh Heupel going to do next? And what should he do next? And that is next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How soon do you feel like you need to put together a staff, and will you consider staff members from Central Florida?
We'll consider staff members from Central Florida. We'll do that. Also, current members on this staff, we'll have a conversation with them here, the members here at Tennessee. It's important that we put together a staff at the right time, that we get the right people, more than it is simply about the urgency of putting that staff together. But yes, we want to do it in a timely fashion.
Okay, he said, hey, putting staff together. Asked about Kevin Steele. You know, hey, got to put the staff together. We'll consider all options. Mark Howard, what do we think about Josh Heupel and what kind of staff he's actually going to be able to put together at Tennessee? Because they keep saying they'll give him the resources for the staff, but Jeremy Pruitt had the highest paid SEC staff in the league, so that's going to be nothing new. How important is that staff, though?
Yeah, but, I mean, it was crazy. It was like a Kardashian romance, with a lot of his staff members. It lasts like half a season. He fell out of love with his D-line coach after, what, like 2.5 games?
Fired him in the middle of the game.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So, you know, Heupel has got to find a staff, pick a staff, and hopefully like his staff. You know, they used to say about Larry Brown, when they let him become a general manager, he'd 3 weeks into the season, he'd hate his team. He'd want to trade everybody. And that was sort of like Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, so yeah, that was a problem with Pruitt's leadership. And we're going to find that out about Heupel. He's on both ends of it. He got fired by the coach he played for, in college, a coach that he was close to, the coach that he left a good job for. So, we'll see what those lessons have taught him.
Let's go to your phones. As promised, Jacob, 615-737-1025. Jacob's up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the teams thing just real quick. I'm a teams guy myself, and I'm originally from Kentucky. I stayed here after I got out of the Army, and I haven't really seen anybody switching away from Tennessee down here. Everybody that I've talked to and that I know down here are diehard Tennessee fans. And I think that you'll see this year with the new head coach, I don't think anybody will swing away from the new head coach, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if he loses or wins or anything like that. We'll see. I know some people they're bandwagoners, but some people are diehards for life, so we'll see.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Jacob. I think there's a difference. The one thing I would say, Mark, is I do think there's a difference between being a bandwagon fan and just being, the fact that more people are going to care when you win. Like, that's just, like, there are people who like the Titans. But when the Titans are bad, they feel like they have something better to do. And, I mean, Mark, you saw the stadium the last couple of years before, Vrabel started to win a little bit. I mean, it was awful. So
yeah, it was the book version of apathy.
Yeah. So my thing is, to me, that's different between, oh, well, I'm not going to be a Vols fan anymore because they're not any good. You know, like to me, it's a generational thing when you lose your fan bases. When it's like people like my parents who grew up Vanderbilt fans and loved Vanderbilt and still care about Vanderbilt. And then I grew up a Vanderbilt fan, but then I went to a regular college and I care more about that college than I do Vanderbilt. And now I don't really love Vanderbilt anymore. And I don't feel like Vanderbilt, has done enough for me to continue to love them, so I don't really love them anymore. Like, that's where it's a problem.
Well, we used to joke that at Vanderbilt basketball games, you know, the top 10 rows of the Vanderbilt basketball games looked like the cast from Cocoon. I mean, every time there was a death in the mid-state, Vanderbilt lost a fan. I mean, that's they kind of skewed a little bit older, is what I'm trying to say. You know, and that's sort of the way it's been. And, you know, I believe, too, what is the expectation going to be for Tennessee fans in 2021? Because realistically, Jared, you know, and I both know that in the preseason prognostications, they're going to probably be picked sixth in the SEC East. I'd say Vanderbilt is the only team that's going to get picked to finish behind them. And that's kind of tough to swallow if you're a Tennessee fan, but maybe lowered expectations and maybe, you know, improvement through the season will swing, you know, maybe a lot of Volunteer Nation over on Heupel's side, at least temporarily.
Andrew texts the text line and says, it's not just changing college fan bases. I feel like I'm less excited about college football altogether. It feels boring and non-competitive. Guess who will be in the playoff next year? We can name three of the four teams right now. That's why I love the NFL. Although we got Brady and Mahomes in the NFL. Like, come on now. He says, remember how great it was back in the day? Any year it could be Virginia Tech, Miami, USC, Georgia, Florida State, Nebraska, Georgia Tech, etc. It doesn't feel that way anymore in college football.
Yeah, but that's part of almost a different argument. Because if you're a Tennessee fan, that's not even in your universe right now. You know, you're just trying to get, you know, the program going. Yeah, I mean, I can understand if you're a good SEC program year in and year out, you feel sort of locked out of the college football playoff. I mean, that's a legitimate argument. And I think that the playoff should be expanded to six or eight teams. But that's a different argument. You know, with Tennessee, you know, you got to crawl before you walk and all that. And I'm not even thinking about the college, you know, who's playing or not playing in the college football playoff. But, yeah, that part of it has definitely become predictable.
Okay, how far away are the Vols from the college football playoff?
Oh, my gosh.
I just wanted to say that. I'm not
years.
not actually serious about asking that question. I would say at least – like, everything would have to go right, and then maybe 4 or 5 years. Like, literally everything would have to go. Like, Heupel would have to be the second coming of Nick Saban. And maybe 4 or 5 years then. But I didn't even mean that question seriously. Adam Rittenberg is going to join us coming up next. ESPN College Football. His thoughts on the hire Tennessee made, where the coaching staff goes from here, and much, much more. That's coming up next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to Stillman & Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Mark Howard, and let's bring in Adam Rittenberg, who, of course, writes about college football for ESPN.com. Adam, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
All right, what's your take of Josh Heupel getting hired by Tennessee?
Yeah, well, we'll see, right? I mean, it's you know, he brings certainly some experience with quarterbacks and top offenses, and I think that's what Tennessee needs. Obviously, familiarity with new athletic director Danny White, that should help as well. You know, I think every AD is going to say they hired their top choice. From what I know about the search, there are obviously other names involved. I think Tennessee went after some pretty big names here and ended up with a guy in Heupel who, you know, has had some success, but this is going to be a big jump, especially coming off of kind of a down season at UCF. And, you know, it'll be a challenging situation for any coach to join without knowing exactly what's going to be coming down as far as, you know, different types of sanctions, or whether it's a bowl ban, scholarship losses, and so forth from the previous coaching staff.
Adam, to your knowledge, who turned Danny White down?
Well, you know, it's hard to say you completely turned them down, but I know that there was inquiries or at least interest with coaches like, you know, James Franklin at Penn State, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. You know, the name that we had heard, you know, kind of the longest from the sort of start to almost the end of the search was Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott, who has been a play caller for two national championship teams, I believe five playoff teams at Clemson. And, you know, he was the name that was sort of lingering the longest. And that ended up not working out earlier this week. And then they pivoted more to Josh Heupel on Tuesday. You know, there were other names as well. You know, Buffalo head coach Lance Leipold, who Danny White had hired at Buffalo, heard a little chatter around Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina coach. But I would say Tony Elliott was the name, along with Sonny Dykes at SMU, that was kind of lingering the longest as a potential option for Tennessee.
Tennessee fans, and, you know, this is an inexact science, seem disappointed by the naming of Heupel. But do you think their expectations might have been a little unrealistic given the hand that Danny White had to play?
Tennessee fans with unrealistic expectations? Come on. I mean, that never happens. No, I mean, a lot of fan bases are like that, and it's not just exclusive to Tennessee. But I do think that you have to be as realistic as possible in looking at where the job is at this point. And the fact is, you know, this has been what the fifth, you know, new coach since Philip Fulmer stepped down, and the program hasn't been great. And now you have this, these looming sanctions. So it's a job that, you know, coaches, you know, wouldn't have had maybe as much hesitation around, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, and it's just changed. And so you're not going to have as much interest as maybe you want or think that it deserves as a fan base. And, you know, I think that's the thing to remember, is that you're hiring a coach who's in most cases, a great situation, in some cases, a very good situation, and you're asking him to leave a, you know, that position for your position, which right now, I think objectively, we'd all look at a very uncertain one. So that's the thing to keep in mind for fans, is that, you know, you think because you love your school that everybody loves your school. That's just not the case, and you have to look at the other factors involved. Even though I think Danny White is a proven athletic director, a guy that has a chance to really create some stability there at Tennessee, it's not like this job is on top of the world right now. It's just not.
We're speaking to Adam Rittenberg, who covers college football for ESPN and ESPN.com. Is it fair to characterize Heupel's run at Central Florida as one who sort of brought the program down a little bit?
Well, no, not entirely. I think you have to give Josh credit for continuing the success that Scott Frost created in 2017. I mean, it was almost impossible to maintain what they did. I mean, they had a perfect season in 2017 and, you know, finished with a win against an SEC opponent in Auburn. And the following year, they went undefeated again in the regular season. They did lose their bowl game to LSU, but that was a good season. You know, last year, you know, was also good. 10 wins, you know, maybe didn't quite achieve to their talent level. Now, this last year, and obviously COVID played a role, but I think there's the criticism is for this last year. I think Central Florida underachieved, and there were some internal issues in doing some reporting around that program, that it just wasn't a very happy team. and that's something that, again, Josh Heupel is going to have to address now, going into a new locker room where players understandably you know, have some concerns, some anxieties about where things are going for this program and with their careers. Because, you know, everything I heard about Central Florida this past year was not very good, even though they technically had a winning season.
What about, you know, Heupel, just in terms of, you know, putting up great offensive numbers as a coordinator at Missouri, and then, of course, you know, what they did at Central Florida in his 3 years. But as you know, Adam, their defense ranked 123 in the country, and that's not going to fly in the SEC, will it?
No, it won't. You know, even as the SEC clearly becomes more of a quarterback league, a passing league, I think that's why, in that respect, the hire really makes sense. They're going to have to play better defense. They really weren't good defensively the last couple of years at Central Florida. And so that, you know, the composition of that defensive staff at Tennessee under Josh Heupel is going to be really interesting to see how that evolves. I think that Tennessee will give him ample resources to attract strong coordinator candidates and assistant coaches for that side of the ball, but it's certainly an area to watch. Now, from an offensive standpoint, you know, you touched on it. You know, he was before Missouri and before UCF, and you know, he was at Oklahoma, his alma mater, a school that he led to a national championship as a quarterback. And he got fired, and I think he had to kind of reassess where he was going in his career. You know, became more of an air raid coach, and kind of revived himself a bit at Utah State and then at Missouri before coming to UCF to replace Scott Frost. So I'm very interested to see what type of offense Tennessee runs. It really can't get much worse, especially at the quarterback position, and I think that will excite fans, even if they don't win right away. I don't think they're going to win right away. I think they're going to have a better plan and look a lot better on offense and at quarterback than they did at the end of the Jeremy Pruitt era.
What do you think the schedules are going to look like next fall? Are you going to see a lot of Power Five schools playing Group of Five? Or do you think they're going to stick primarily to conference and Power Five versus Power Five?
Well, the SEC, yeah, it's a good question. The SEC schedule actually came out earlier today. So we have at least the plan for what the 2021 schedules are going to look like. And, hopefully they stay this way. Hopefully we have a full 12-game season, with the normal schedule model. Now, I've long advocated for the SEC to increase the number of conference games. That was the one benefit about last season, is that you got to see more SEC games on the slate. It was an all SEC schedule. But as of now, Tennessee, like its SEC brethren, will be playing 8 league games and 4 non-conference games: Bowling Green, Pitt, Tennessee Tech, and South Alabama. And so Tennessee now scheduled to open SEC play against rival Florida on September 25th. So hopefully, you know, we get there and have no interruptions and have a full normal 12-game SEC season.
What about the Big Ten? And you've covered the Big Ten for a lot of years, but shifting dynamics outside of Ohio State. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Michigan. Harbaugh blows his staff up. You know, all of a sudden, Indiana, you know, becomes a force to be reckoned with, and Penn State goes through a rough year. Iowa has a great year. What are we looking at for 2021 that we saw in 2020 as a carryover?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, can Indiana sustain the type of season that it really had the last 2 years? I mean, obviously played Tennessee in the Gator Bowl in 2019, and then this year, you know, finishing number 12 in the country. They do lose quite a bit, but they're set to return their quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., who unfortunately has had all of his 3 seasons cut short by injury. But if he can rebound from another torn ACL, he's a dynamic player. They love him there, and I think he's a guy that could make Indiana a factor in the Big Ten East Division. I think Penn State's going to be a better team this year. They just brought in Mike Yurcich, the Texas offensive coordinator, to provide a boost for them offensively. So we'll see if they can catch Ohio State. And then Michigan, again, is a bit of a wild card. They revamped much of their coaching staff, brought in a lot of younger assistants. All but one of their assistants now is in their 30s. So Harbaugh, you're kind of going with the youth movement, especially on the defensive side, to get better there. And then the West Division should be really competitive. And, the West Division doesn't get a lot of attention because there's no Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan, but there's great consistency on that side. With Wisconsin probably being the dominant team over the course of the last decade, but also Northwestern has 2 of the last 3 division championships. They just brought in Ryan Helinski, the South Carolina quarterback transfer. Iowa should be a preseason top 15, top 20 team. You'll see if Purdue can improve. So I think there's Minnesota should be a better team. It's a pretty balanced division in the West.
Adam, enjoy your work, and thanks for this, and we'll speak to you down the line.
Okay, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Straight ahead, we're going to summon Chase McCabe out of the bullpen to finish up for Jared. You're listening to Stillman & Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game.